This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the Stage of History.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. My name is Tom and I'm joined from across the globe by Ross O'Reilly, our man in Japan. How's it going, Ross?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Just cool. Relaxing Sunday, really. Not done much today.
No.
Bit of
no,
cleaning and playing games, that's about it.
We are recording this on the 27th of November, 2016, and that means that this is the 18th birthday of the Dreamcast, which was released on the 27th of November, 1998. Ross, can you confirm that there are, in fact, street parties going on across Japan as we record this?
Oh, yeah. Let me just have a look out the window quickly. It was a bit crazy earlier. Yeah, still going on.
Yeah,
Lots of people out in the streets. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I saw some reports on CNN. That's all. I just wanted to confirm that they are in fact going on as we record this podcast.
Yeah, it's a national holiday. Yeah. It's a shame it's a Sunday because I would have got the day off work if it was a different day of the week. Oh well, next year.
Next year. Cool. Right, let's begin as we always do. Let's talk about what we've been playing, what we've picked up, if anything. I'm going to let you go first, Ross. Have you been playing anything current gen? Retro or picked anything up?
Well, recently I actually sold my PSVR last week, and with the money from that, I also sold the TV I had at the time. So I sold my TV, the PSVR, and with that I bought a 4K TV. So I've been trying out a lot of games in 4K. One of which is Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, so have you got a PS4 Pro then?
No, my PS4 stopped working about a year ago. And I pre-ordered the PSVR. I was going to get another PS4. And then I borrowed my friend's PS4. I played PSVR for about a week. And I wasn't impressed at all. Because I've already got the Vive. And it was all right. But just nowhere near as good as the Vive. So I just decided I can't be bothered with consoles anymore. I'm selling this and just going all in on PC.
How are you playing? Oh, so you're playing PC games?
PC.
On the 4K TV. Yeah. Right, I see, got you.
Yeah. And Shadow of Mordor looks absolutely beautiful. Especially like the blood and stuff in 4K, like, just looks amazing. All these little globules of blood, you can see them all individually. Yeah, and have you played the game?
I've not played Shadow of Mordor, no.
No?
No.
No, it's the game itself, it's really good. It's an open world game. I don't usually like open world games, but this one's quite a small open world, so it's quite focused, which I like. But the main thing, the thing that makes it stand out from other games is definitely the enemy orcs. Like, they've got loads of character, and they say loads of funny stuff that you ought to just look up YouTube at some of the stuff they say. It's hilarious. And every single character, although I'm sure there's some like procedural generation going on for these characters, but even so, like, any one of these individual orcs could be the main bad guy in another game. Like, they're just so well made, and everything they say and how they move is really cool. Just really makes the game, that alone.
I have looked into the game quite a lot because I keep meaning to buy it and play it, and I've heard a lot of talk about the game on other podcasts, so I know quite a lot about the game, just haven't played it myself yet, but I will do because it's only like £10 now on PS4, so I'm pretty sure I'll get it in the near future.
I picked it up for £3.50 on G2A.com, this site that sells codes, like Steam codes or whatever, so I only paid £3.50 for it. I wouldn't have paid £40 for it. Same, it's kind of like Rise, Son of Rome, that game as well. It didn't get very good. Well, actually, Son of Mordor reviews were okay, but not great. But Rise as well got bad reviews at the time. But then I imagine if you paid £40-50 for it, you would kind of be a bit disappointed. But as I played both of the games much later, and like, I paid about a tenner for Rise, and like I said, £3.50 for Mordor.
Yeah,
they're really good games, and I don't mind them being a bit shorter. Like, I don't have time to play 30-40 hours in a game. Like, a 10-15 hour game is fine for me.
Have you played anything on the Dreamcast at all?
No, I played a bit of Power Stone and Virtua Tennis the other day with a mate, but not anything new or interesting there. How about yourself? What have you been playing them recently, Tom?
On the Dreamcast, the only game I've played recently has been Ferrari F355 Challenge, and that's because I picked up the PlayStation 2 version for £1 on eBay. And really, it was more out of curiosity because I'd heard that it was a really good conversion, and it had a few extra gameplay modes and things like that, and so I played it on the PS2. Mm. And yeah, it's practically the same game, but there are a couple of little things that are different. Like, for example, all the tracks are available from the beginning, so you have to unlock them all, and there's also an external view, which obviously was missing from the Dreamcast version because it was basically a direct port from the arcade.
Mm. It's widescreen as well, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. I've not really delved into it too much, but I will do over the next coming week. One thing that I did notice is that the colour palettes are slightly different, so the PS2 version looks really kind of bright and, like, you know, you've got the TV colour turned up too high, whereas the Dreamcast version looks kind of really subdued and more realistic, and I don't know why that is, but I'll probably do a video on the two versions in the coming week or so and just compare them.
Yeah, that sounds strange to me, but you're playing with what, RGB composite? What?
Composite on the same TV, Sony TV as well, so it's got a really good, nice CRT screen.
I wonder if you use component, do you have component cables for the PS2?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it supports... Well, it will support them, but I wonder what resolution 355 will output at if you use component cables. So whether it's supported by 480p or whatever, or do they even go up to 720 on PS2?
You are literally talking to the wrong person when it comes to like resolutions and stuff. I honestly don't know.
Why do they do that?
It's not something I'm interested in.
Use VGA for the Dreamcast, and then try using a component for the PS2. And see if that gives a better result.
Because the recording device I've got is it's an Elgato HD. It has inputs for composite, but it doesn't have component. No, it has. It doesn't have VGA or something. Anyway, the only way I can get a comparable image from each system is through component. No, composite. I'm getting confused now. Anyway,
that'd be an interesting series, I think, like for the page. Some like comparisons of the differences between the Dreamcast and other versions of Dreamcast games or whatever.
Yeah, that's something I might look into in the near future. Yeah. Other than that, for the Dreamcast, I picked up another Maraca for my Samba de Amigo set, because the one that I had, the set that came with the actual game, one of them was a bit temperamental, and I was looking on eBay for a couple of weeks just like looking for a Maraca, and lo and behold, one came up, and the seller was actually located in France, but the Maraca was located in Japan, so it came from Japan, but he was in France, so I don't know how that worked, but it came quite...
Yeah, I know what's gone on there. It's a guy, I've had similar situation myself, it's a guy who probably created his account in France with his bank account linked up to PayPal in France and everything, and then at some point he moved to Japan.
Right, got you.
And it won't let you change your location to a different location that your bank account and everything's in, so I'd guess that's what's happened to him.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to send him an email saying, excuse me, why is... No, I'm not actually that bothered, but... speaking about the PS2, though, I did actually pick up a replacement PS2 because I saw one in a shop window a couple of weeks ago for £9. It's just a console on its own. There's no controllers or cables, but it's absolutely brand spanking new. Hmm. It's like it's never been played. Even like when you open the little slot at the back, you know, the hard drive, it's completely... There's no dust or anything. It's like it's never, ever been played.
Hmm.
So, yeah, for £9. Because the one I had was completely... The one I had was battered. It was full of scratches and marks all over it and bits falling off it. So I thought, yeah, that'd be a good replacement just for the price of a couple of pints of beer or whatever. It's a good find.
Mm.
On the current gen systems, I've been playing on the PS4. I've been playing The Witcher 3 still and PES 2017. And I've been playing a game on the Vita called Slain, which is a kind of like a Castlevania-style game, a bit like Volga the Vikings, side-scrolling 2D hack-and-slash game with pixel-like visuals. It's really good, but it's really difficult, and so I've been busily hacking my way through that and trying not to throw my Vita at a wall when I get killed for the millionth time in the same place, because it is one of those games where you have to pass a checkpoint, and then when you die, about 10 minutes later, you go back to that checkpoint, and you're like... My God.
Proper old school gaming.
It is. That's what they've tried to do. It is really old school, but it's really, really frustrating, especially when you can see the next checkpoint coming up on the screen and then something just appears in front of you and kills you. You're just like, what? How? Like,
that's Volga the Viking all over. Like, that game's horrible like that.
Yeah, I did. I reviewed it for Retro Collect yesterday, actually, and I did mention
Volga. I saw the link. I didn't actually read it, but I did see the link in one of the screenshots. Looks kind of interesting.
Don't bother me. It's too long. Too long. Didn't read.
Well, we won't bother. But was it? be perfectly honest.
At least you're honest.
My PS Vita's not been used in months now.
All right.
Yeah, the party's over with that for me. Was it physical release though?
No, it's digital only. But I believe it may be getting a physical release in the near future. But don't quote me on that. I think I've read that somewhere on a forum or something when I was looking at some research for the game. I did actually request a review copy, but they ignored me. So I bought it. Anyway, let's move on to the first topic of discussion, and that is that there are three indie games coming to the Dreamcast that we've not really covered before on the Dreamcast Junkyard, and as well as all the big ones like Elysian Shadows and Xenocider and Slave, these three are coming from smaller teams, but you know, still look quite interesting for what they are. Did you see the article I put up on the Dreamcast Junkyard this week, Ross?
I did read that one, yes, I did. I was quite surprised. I'd never heard of them either, to be honest.
For those people listening, there is an article up on the Dreamcast Junkyard called Three Dreamcast Games You May Have Missed, and in that article I look at a couple of games.
Tell a lie, one of them I had heard of, but the other two I hadn't.
Yeah, same. So these three games are, the first one is called Hermes, and this one comes from Retro Guru, the guys behind Fruity and Guyana Sisters and a couple other indie games. Is it Zump they did as well? X-U-M-P. Yeah, this one is it's described as a run and jump game where you kind of just like, you know, run along, jumping over gaps and over enemies, and you play as a chicken who has to eat food or something. The details are quite sketchy at the moment, and it does look quite basic. It's very, again, very retro pixel art style, stylized visuals, but these games from Retro Guru are generally quite good, if a little annoying. I did liken it to a game that's already on the Dreamcast. I think you pronounce it Squirex or something. You play as this little rabbit,
and
you have to like run along, and it's really difficult. It revels in its difficulty, and it does mock you for how hard it is. And I can attest to how hard it is, because it has me ripping my hair out when I've grown it long enough that I can rip it out. But yeah, that's Hermes. Any thoughts on that one, Ross?
Well, you know, so far all we can, I mean, the concept sounds really good. And I like, they said it's like anti-vegetarian or something. Like, what is it? What do you play as again? Whatever you play as, you're like, what is it?
I think you play as a chicken.
A chicken. I thought you were eating chicken or something, but whatever you are,
something like that,
whatever you are, you're like eating various animals, trying to get them for meat or something. And from what I could tell anyway, there's only one screenshot I could find so far, but it definitely looks really nice. That one screenshot looks quite impressive, definitely. And seeing as it's made by, they're called Retro Guru.
Retro Guru, yeah.
Seeing as it's made by them, I've got some hope that it won't be Kickstarter and it will be released at like quite a reasonable price. So yeah, I'm definitely keeping an eye on that one from now on. If it's anywhere near as reasonably priced as, was it Fruity?
Yeah, Fruity was released at, I think it was like €2.99. So that was really
ridiculous. I wouldn't expect it to be that cheap again, but. But yeah, if it's sub 20 quid, then definitely I'll consider giving it a look, I think, if the end game looks as good as the only screenshot I've seen so far.
Okay, the next one on this list is a game called Survival Code, which, I've got to be honest, it doesn't look that good at the moment. It looks like it's been made in paint or something, do you know what I mean?
It looks awful.
Sprites themselves.
The animation as well looks awful.
The thing that interests me, though, is the story is kind of based on that, you know, the wow signal, you know, from back in the 70s where the space telescope got that anomaly from deep space and then the guy sort of scribbled around it well. So it's based on that, which I quite like, just because I'm into that kind of thing. The other interesting aspect around this game is that it uses QR codes to have interactivity between the Sega Saturn version, the Dreamcast version, and mobile phone version. So you can open things in each version of the game using a QR code. I don't know how they'll implement that in like the Dreamcast and the Saturn version, but
if you own both versions.
Yeah, from what I can gather, say for example, this is just me kind of like passing the information that I found on the game. So if you're playing on the Dreamcast version or the Saturn version, a QR code might pop up on the screen and then you can scan that with your mobile phone and then you can open up something in the game on mobile, which then will give you a code that you can put into the Dreamcast version and open up something else. So there is like, you know, interconnectivity between the two games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, it'll be interesting to see how that works. I know that Alice Dreams Tournament uses QR codes to upload your high scores to the online leaderboard.
Yeah, where's that? What happens that game? Where's that gone? Where's Slave gone? What they're supposed to be out, been out ages ago. Still nothing. Oh well.
Yeah, apparently Alice Dreams Tournament is now finished. It's just waiting to be...
No, I'm telling you, I know this is just me making what I think's probably happened. It's like, look at all these Kickstarters where they've got various like backer rewards and different levels of how much you donate. There's like so much, like I can't exactly remember what's in the Alice in Dreams tournament one, but there's so many things like poster, book, blah, 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 special edition, ultimate special edition, blah, blah, blah. All these different things they've got to spend time on to print for them at a reasonable price, et cetera, et cetera. It's stuff like that's going to delay them.
Did you see the special edition Dreamcast as well with Alice Dreams Tournament logo on it?
Yes, I did, actually. That looks good, doesn't it? Yeah. I think that's already been done, I guess. I guess they just got some famous, well, not famous, but some well-known modder or something to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Dreamcast that's been sprayed blue, so I could technically just print out one of those stickers and stick it on my Dreamcast and it would be an Alice Dreams Tournament Dreamcast, but I won't do that. All right, the last one on this list is a game called, it doesn't actually have a name yet, but it's called Project Bennu because it's based in the Bennu game engine. I'd not actually heard of this engine before looking into this game. I was actually contacted by the guy who's creating the game, a guy called Alfonso, and he's doing it on his own. Hmm. He's just like a one-man coder, and he's creating what is essentially a visual novel, but he does say that it's got some small like mini games involved with it and also VMU functionality and that kind of thing. The couple of images that he's actually released online at the moment do look quite cool. They look really well drawn, but I mean, it doesn't really give away anything as to how the game's going to play and what you do. I think it's going to be, you know, like on the Vita, there's just like loads of those visual novels. Yeah. It's like static images and text at the bottom of the screen. Mm. And you just choose which, you know, choose your own adventure type thing. I think it's going to be something along those lines. But, you know, my skills when it comes to developing games, as I've said many times on this podcast, are non-existent. So if somebody wants to make a game, then power to them is all I can say. Yeah, any thoughts on that last one?
I mean, I'm interested in all these three games. Just for me, it depends on the price, really. I mean, well, to be honest, visual novels are not my thing, but I mean, I'd still take a look at it though. But whether I buy any of them, it depends on the price. Like I said, especially now, I just bought Shadow of Mordor for £3.50 on G2A.com, and most of these Dreamcast games are like £40 plus when you and you're not even buying them, you're kickstarting them or whatever. So we'll have to see what the price is and whether it's a Kickstarter or whether you can just pre-order it or something like that. I don't know.
Speaking of Kickstarters, I did actually get another version of In the Line of Fire, the first person shooter.
Oh, yeah.
I still haven't actually had the ability to play it yet because my girlfriend's PC has been at her workplace for the last week. So I'm just waiting for her to bring that home so I can put it on the PC and play it on the emulator.
Do you know what's been added?
I don't, as of yet, no. But it is apparently some more up-to-date build. Mm. And we'll see in the next week or so when I can get my hands on an actual PC as opposed to the Apple Macs that infest my house.
That one definitely excites me. Like, they're definitely doing something quite groundbreaking, at least in terms of the homebrew scene on DC. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
It'll be interesting to see how that one turns out, definitely. Certainly the most visually impressive indie game we've seen so far on the Dreamcast. Mm. Okay, let's move on to the next topic. Sega have released a hardware calendar, 2017. Mr. Ross O'Reilly, I believe you have one, or maybe more than one. Would you like to explain to the listeners why it's so special?
I don't know why they've made it, to be honest, but yeah, that if you look at the official Sega goods store in Japan, they've actually got quite a lot of random, officially licensed Dreamcast tats, I suppose you could say, like t-shirts, notebooks, etc. And there's one like range of Sega goods called Sega Hardware, which is like Sega hardware. And you saw it, actually. I didn't even know about it. You made me aware that they've just released a calendar. So I went on the site. It wasn't out yet, but I ordered like 8 of them and clicked buy, and they arrived the other day. And yeah, they're actually quite nice. They're not very big. They're quite small, but yeah, it's a really nice calendar. Like each month has a different console on it, and then there's like a picture of it, like a nice photo of that console, and then in the bottom left hand corner there's like a 16-bit or 8-bit style artwork representation of the console itself. So yeah, they're actually really quite nice. And our favorite console, the Dreamcast, features as December's chosen console, so that's cool.
Yeah, I saw your little write-up on the calendar. A couple of questions. Yeah. First one is, can you? I can't really get an idea of scale from the images. Like, in my head, it looked quite big, like one of the big ones you put on the wall. Is it quite small?
To compare it to, it's about what? About maybe like.
Can you compare it to a CD? Like a CD case?
Oh, it's about three CD cases, I suppose.
What, in a line?
No, not in a line. Like 2x2. That kind of size. Okay. A bit bigger than that, maybe. A bit bigger than that. It's not huge. I was a bit, not disappointed, but, I was hoping that, on the calendar... On the calendar, it's got the Japanese official holidays written on it. I was hoping it would have, a few dates of, key Sega moments in history. Maybe just, the release of the Mega Drive or the release of this, release of that. But it's not got anything like that. But it still looks very nice, very cool. It's nice to get anything Dreamcast-related that's being made by Sega still, even if it is just a... small little calendar.
Yeah, because last year there was the Dreamcast calendar, wasn't there, with the different games on it, the orange one.
That was sold at Tokyo Game Show,
Another thing I wanted to ask about was the thing that you put in the article talking about how in Japan everybody eats KFC on Christmas Day. Now, I did actually confirm this with a friend of mine. His wife is Japanese, and I saw him and her yesterday, and I asked her about this, and she... corroborated it, and it just seems like a bizarre concept that people
really
think
weird.
That in the West we all eat KFC for Christmas dinner.
For those who haven't read the article, basically in Japan on Christmas Day everyone goes, well, not everyone, but a lot of people go to KFC for their Christmas dinner. The big holiday in Japan isn't Christmas, of course. They're not traditionally a Christian country. The big holiday is New Year's Day. So that's when they have their family kind of gathering or whatever, and they eat traditional New Year's Day Japanese food or whatever, and they go to the temple and stuff like that. But Christmas is something that's, within the last generation or so has caught on in Japan as well. It's like a couples thing. A lot of the time, couples go on a date or whatever for Christmas or Christmas Eve. But also some families do stuff for Christmas Day, and the big thing is go to KFC.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Well, you know.
But they believe, though, when I say they, I'm generalizing here, I'm sure not every single Japanese person believes this, but a lot of them do. They believe that that's what we all do as Westerners. They think that Christmas Day we go to KFC and have a bargain bucket or something for our Christmas dinner. Crazy.
I'm tempted to just prove them right and actually go to KFC on Christmas Day and take a picture and tweet it.
In England? One of my teachers asked me, oh, what do you eat for Christmas in England? KFC? I was like, no, I don't. Of course I don't. I don't eat KFC. KFC is not even open on Christmas Day in England. And they're like, really? Really? So... But a lot of people go to KFC. I'm like, no, nobody in England goes to KFC on Christmas Day. Oh, yeah. We eat turkey. Yeah, that's for traditional food, not KFC. Fried chicken.
It's amazing. I'd never heard of this before until you wrote that article. That's brilliant. Cool. All right. The calendar is, I believe it's now sold out, though, the calendar.
From where I bought it from, it was sold out. On Amazon Japan, it's listed now, but they're selling at over 3 times the price that I got them for from Sega. And if you put in a UK address, I mean, that's before you even get to shipping. If you put in a UK address, it won't even let you order them. So
nope.
I think the only way you're going to be able to get them is eBay or Facebook or something like that, if people are in Japan.
Cool. All right, then. Let's move on to our last topic. And that is, this week I've been looking on a website called Etsy. I'm sure people listening to this will know what Etsy is. It's kind of like eBay, but it's where people who are kind of into arts and crafts can sell their creations to other artsy types. You generally get things like soft furnishings or art or, little sculptures and things that people have made. But if you type the word Dreamcast into the search box, a whole new wondrous world will open up in front of you. People selling all manner of bootleg things relating to the Dreamcast, things they've created, artwork, little models. It's absolutely brilliant. It's fascinating as well that this kind of all exists, kind of hidden in plain sight, because the first place that I would look for Dreamcast stuff is usually eBay or, to a lesser extent, sometimes Gumtree, but there's never really that much stuff on there. Now, what I thought we'd do for this last section of the podcast is myself and Ross are both going to have a look at Etsy and type the word Dreamcast in as our search term and see what weird and wonderful things we can find. You can actually play along at home, if you like, while you're listening to the podcast. Get a bit interactive. So get your laptop up or whatever it is you're using, and just go to Etsy.com or Etsy.co.uk, whichever one you want to use, and just type Dreamcast into the search bar, and we'll have a little look at what we can find, what aberrations we can find on the Etsy store. I'll go first, Ross, and pick out something that I quite like the look of. And the first thing that caught my eye was a... the reason this caught my eye, actually, was because it kind of gave me a flashback to my youth before the Dreamcast Junkyard was a thing. And that's a thing called Dream Zine, which is... It's kind of like a hand-drawn, like, fanzine
Dream
for the Dreamcast.
Zine. Let me try and find this.
Yeah, Dream Zine, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a student, I used to make fanzines on the computers at college, and then I'd print them out and try and sell them to people, but nobody wanted to buy them. I'd usually just got funny looks and told to fuck off. But yeah, this is quite cool because this guy, whoever he is, his name is Suflex, I think his name is. He is, or Suflex, oh, he's in Melbourne, Australia. I hope it's not a pseudonym that Scott uses. Scott, you've rumbled you. So this guy, and sadly there's no actual images from inside the fanzine, just the cover, but it looks quite nice. He's obviously drawn it, or he or she has drawn it, hand-drawn, bespoke, coloured it all in with felt tip pens. And the description is that it's a handmade item. It's just a bunch of full-colour illustrations and a few choice words about my favourite console ever. So yeah, that's my first choice. I like the effort that's been put in. There's nice PAL kind of stylings.
He's got eight five-star... ratings here. Great stuff. Really enjoying the zine. Thank you so much. Love them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the zines. Love them. I don't know if they're real or not. I don't know if I believe eight people have bought a hand-drawn Dreamcast fan zine. I don't know.
Well, you never know. You never know. Right, Ross, have you...
That was reminiscent of your youth. This is slightly reminiscent of mine, perhaps. It's a Dreamcast controller herb grinder. Wood grinder, weed grinder, personalizable and customizable gift, groomsmen gift. And it's...
Wait, so what? So this is a grinder for, like, for weed,
I don't know what one would use it for, perhaps. Or your herb,
I'm trying to find it.
Cooking, I guess. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your oregano,
exactly. So it's
found it, got it,
Oak and aluminium. The inside's made of aluminium and the outside's made of oak. The image on display here actually has a picture of an N64 controller for some reason, but I guess there's a few examples of other ones, so I guess that's just an example. Like, you can have the Dreamcast logo on or whatever you want, or a Dreamcast controller on there if you want.
Interesting. Yeah, so if you like to partake in that kind of thing while you're playing on your favourite Dreamcast games, then get yourself a Dreamcast grinder. Or, if you like cooking and you want to, blend some oregano up, then get stuck into that as well. We're not condoning the use of drugs, by the way. People. So
stay clean. Say no. Just say no.
Yeah. So was it Be Cool, Stay in School? Is that even related? I don't know. Right. Right, I'm going to choose the next one. I have chosen... this is a piece of artwork. It's a Sega Dreamcast paddle monster. Monster's actually spelt wrong. It's spelt Mosner.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a guy who's obviously an artist. He's created quite a cool, bespoke piece of artwork where a Dreamcast controller has been transformed into some kind of undead nightmare, and it's got four eyes where the controller, so the button should be, a massive gnashing mouth where the VMU port should be, and then a VMU with an eye.
Yeah, this actually does. Yeah, it does.
Cool,
I wouldn't want it on my wall, but it is a fantastic piece of artwork. I'll give him that. Very well drawn.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his other bits of art. He's obviously a very talented artist. That's being sold by a guy called Tino Kopic. From Thailand.
Hmm.
So he's put here as the description, drawing a Sega Dreamcast paddle monster, drew with Copic markers, unique piece. Yeah, so this is
one
a piece
of a kind.
His own sketchbook. And the paper may have some smudges and splits. So yeah, it's a bespoke piece of art. That's quite cool.
Yeah, that is nice.
Very nice indeed.
Okay, I got the next one. I have got, wait for it, custom escape keycap. For Cherry MX Switch. I don't even know what a Cherry MX Switch is, but it is basically an escape key for a keyboard, and it's got the Dreamcast logo on top and says Sega, Dreamcast Sega on the front side of the key. So yeah, if you're just bored of pressing that ESC escape key, get yourself a custom-made Dreamcast escape key.
Oh, yeah, I can see it, yeah. Wow.
617 yen. I don't know. I guess that's about fiver in British money.
Yeah, I found one here. It's £4.12. £4.12.
Yeah, it says the orange whorl, whorl of Dreamcast. How to use? Prepare a keyboard which uses Cherry MX switches. Pull off escape keycap. put on this item instead of original Scape keypad. So there you go. That'd be a nice Christmas stocking filler for a loved one.
Sure, thank you for that. Okay, my last choice is not so much an item, but kind of more of a genre of items, and that is the sheer number of bootleg games that are actually on Etsy.
A repro was going to be one of mine as well, so we'll just do this as a joint choice then and talk about some of our picks.
Yeah, okay. Look at this. It's phenomenal. You've got things like The Neverhood, which is an old PC game. You've got Cyberlip.
What's Neverhood?
That's a TurboGrafx game.
I've heard of that.
It's like a claymation, like point-and-click game.
Yeah, there's a PS1 version. And there's a sequel for PS1 as well, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different bootleg games. You've got Turtles Arcade. There's so many random, like,
I found one
mashups
here.
Of different games.
An interesting title. It's just one of those really skinny CD cases with the Dreamcast swirl on, and blue background, and it says, Big Rocks in Space.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beats of Rage Kingdom Hearts Edition. Windjammers for the Neo Geo. That's probably a Neo Geo for all conversion.
Yeah, a lot of these, I guess, are just like ROMs running on the various emulators that work on Dreamcast, I think.
Yeah. There's one here called Foosball 0.92, so don't know how cool that's going to be. But if you want to play foosball or table football, as it's more commonly known, on your Dreamcast.
This one, DC Blap, yeah. The Next Dimension of Pong. What are these games? Skull Kings.
They're all really kind of intriguing looking, but they're probably just a load of shit, most of them. There's also a worrying number of like repros of actual games, like Shenmue 2 and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. I mean, I suppose this is using Etsy as a way of actually getting around eBay's not very well-enforced rules about, you know, selling bootlegs. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because even though you go on eBay, you type Dreamcast, you will find people selling copied games. It's not enforced really by eBay at all. But if you do it on Etsy, again, we're not, you know, encouraging this, but I suppose this is a way that people have found to get around that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't got a problem with people playing bootlegs or whatever.
No, I couldn't give a toss.
Games that are like 10, 15 years old and aren't made anymore. But I don't care. But I also don't really understand why you'd pay for a bootleg of a game. I just don't get it. Just download it and burn it onto a disc. I don't know why you'd want a fake game on your shelf. That's just me. That's my opinion. But and some of these are really expensive. Some of these are like 35 quid or something like, for a bootleg. I don't get it.
There's one here called it's just called Blast 'em Up. That's it. Blast 'em Up with a weird Dreamcast like logo on it. That's £10.70 from Coastline Games. Mm. So yeah, if you want to see what we're looking at, like I say, just get yourself on. I found Big Rocks in Space.
I have found one more actually. I found a Hazuki Tiger necklace, Shenmue and inspired, and it's like on the back of, I think it's on the back of Ryu's jacket, or Ryu's jacket, tiger.
Yeah.
It's like that on this, it's not really a chain, it's like, what do you call that? It's like braided.
That cord.
It looks, actually it looks pretty crap, to be honest.
So yeah, try it yourself. Get yourself onto Etsy and have a look at the Dreamcast stuff. It can be quite entertaining, to be honest, just looking at some of the stuff that people created. Not just the games, but like the cups and the t-shirts and the artwork.
I mean, we picked out the funny stuff, right? But there is actually some, pretty good looking things on there that I might consider buying. I don't know.
Yeah, some of the t-shirts look quite good, don't they? Anyway, Ross, let's draw that one to a close. Our Etsy adventure. This episode of the Dream Pod is going to be a little bit shorter than the usual ones, just because we're not trying to use it. We are using up the last remaining just under an hour that we've got left in our server for this month before it caps off. So yeah, I think that's going to do it for this particular episode. What I want to do now is I just want to thank the people who still continue to support us on Patreon. You know, I have reduced the amount that people can pledge to just $1 because I just thought that it was better that way rather than having different tiers, because obviously we don't really put a lot of stuff on Patreon. It's just, you know, if you want to support the podcast, then you can, or the site, then, you know, we're thankful for your dollar of support. But yeah, thank you to all you people who do contribute. It's very much appreciated. And I think that'll do it for this month. We can be found on Twitter at the DC Junkyard, and we can be found on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TheDreamcastJunkyard. We do have a group as well, which is groups/TheDreamcastJunkyard, and also on our main website, which is www.thedreamcastjunkyard.co.uk. I can be found on Twitter at Tom Lee C. Ross, you can be found on Facebook at Ross O'Reilly.
Don't find me.
Yeah. Don't find me.
Don't find me, I'll find you.
So yeah, don't find Ross, he'll find you. And yeah, thanks very much for listening to this slightly shorter than usual episode on the Dream Pod. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you do like what you've heard, please consider going onto our iTunes page and leaving us a review, 5-star or 1-star, whichever you see fit. But yeah, that'll do it for this time, and we'll see you on the next one. And hopefully we'll have more people and we'll have a bit more to talk about. So yeah, thanks very much, and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Good night. Goodbye.
Please stop this disc now.